Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. Israel launched a major attack deep into Lebanon Tuesday night and Wednesday morning, and Hezbollah said its guerrillas were fighting Israeli commandos trapped inside a hospital in the eastern city of Baalbek. The Israeli army would not comment on the operation in the ancient city some 80 miles north of Israel. The battles in Baalbek and across southern Lebanon on Tuesday, the determination of the Israelis to keep fighting, and the minimal diplomatic progress toward a ceasefire all indicate the war is more likely to escalate than end soon. Fidel Castro put out an intriguing public statement some 24 hours after it was revealed he is in the hospital. Castro is not actually seen or heard. Instead, the statement was read by the host of a program on state-run Cuban television. In the statement, Castro says his health is stable, and where his spirits are concerned, he feels perfectly fine. But Castro goes on to say, "I cannot make up positive news." And the statement offers no specifics on his health after his intestinal surgery. Castro is also urging Cubans to stay calm and go about their daily routines. How about the health of the leader of the U.S.? Well, President Bush had his annual physical today. The White House says he is in fine shape. After a nearly four-hour physical exam, Bush's doctors pronounced him in good health and, quote-unquote, fit for duty. Bush told reporters,
"Doing fine. Health's fine. Probably ate too many birthday cakes."
The president celebrated his 60th birthday on numerous occasions last month. His spokesperson said the president's resting heart rate was 46, similar to the 47 at his exam last July, and in the range of a well-trained athlete, and said that his total cholesterol of 174 was his best ever. The U.S. Army opened a hearing Tuesday to determine whether four American soldiers must stand trial for allegedly murdering three Iraqis during a raid where they claim, surprisingly today, they were under orders from above to kill all military-age males. The four have been jailed in Kuwait since they were arrested in June. More carnage continuing in Iraq, with bombings and shootings taking at least 65 lives. The dead include 20 Iraqi troops killed in a bus attack and a British soldier who died in a mortar barrage. A car bomb at a bank where soldiers and police were getting their pay killed 14 people. I'm Mark Shearer, and you are listening to Air America Radio News on the Air America Radio Network.
evening, Truth Seekers. This is Air America Radio. My name is Mike Malloy. Thanks for tuning in. Hot enough for you? I guess we all should have listened to Al Gore. Oh, well. What's the poem? Some say the world will end in fire. Some say in ice. From what I've tasted of desire, I hold with those who favor fire. Who's that, Carl Sandburg? But if it had to perish twice, I think that ice is also great. It would suffice. I'm completely garbled it. Robert Frost, Carl Sandburg? I don't know. No moron sounds on the program tonight. Just some weird comments from Foxy the Snowman and Republican defector Senator Chuck Hagel, who's calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Mideast. That ought to send Chuckle Nuts cuddling his Game Boy under the covers and send Rove out looking for his, now where'd I put it, his Boxo-anthrax? Hey, Hagel, don't open the mail for a while, okay? Oh, and by the way, if Cheney asks you to go hunting, just say no. Before we get to that tonight, though, we'll be joined by Jonathan Tessini again. He is a candidate for senator in the state of New York against the outrageously hypocritical and pandering and useless Hillary Clinton. If you want information on Jonathan Tessini, it is TessiniForNewYork.org, T-A-S-I-N-I, TessiniForNewYork.org. In today's Daily News, New York Daily News, it had the following about Tessini. Hillary Clinton's primary opponent lashed out at the senator over Israel yesterday, blaming the deaths of 37 children in Klana on her refusal to push for a ceasefire. Democrat Jonathan Tessini said in a statement, quote, she and a broad segment of our political leadership bear responsibility for the deaths of these children, end quote. The children he's referring to are among the 60 civilians killed in Israel's weekend strike on the Lebanese town of Khana. Tessini said, quote, rather than call for restraint, Hillary Clinton stopped just short of declaring, let the bombs fall. Close quote. Excuse me for the sound of my voice tonight. I've got another Molly cold. Sorry. A Clinton campaign spokesman, Howard Wolfson, said that Tessini's statement is, quote, outrageous and beyond the pale, close quote, but didn't go any further in talking with the New York Daily News. It says here, in intensely personal terms, Tessini, who is Jewish and has lived in Israel, also branded Clinton a pandering chicken hawk. Tessini said, quote, I know what it is like to sit in a bomb shelter or touch the body of a person killed by war, end quote. He said his father fought in the Jewish underground that helped found Israel in the 1940s, a cousin was killed in the 1973 war, and an elderly relative was axed to death by a Palestinian while sitting on a park bench. Tessini said, quote, has Hillary Clinton or other so-called friends of Israel who have cheered for armed conflict and death and destruction ever spent one night in fear from war or sobbing in sorrow because of the death of a loved one in war? For them, it's all about political calculations, pandering, and votes, end quote. Clinton has ignored his attempts to get her to agree to a League of Women Voters debate September 6th ahead of the September 12th primary. No, and she probably won't. Why should she? That's rule number one of trying to get reelected. Ignore your opponent. And I don't think Hillary Clinton is going to elevate Tessini in her mind by having a debate with him. Well, we'll see. We'll see. A nephew of Senator Max Baucus, Democrat, Montana, a nephew of Senator Max Baucus serving in the Marines was killed in Iraq over the weekend. That's according to Max Baucus' office today. Excuse me. Corporal Philip Baucus, who was 28, died Saturday during combat operations in Anbar province. In a statement, Senator Baucus said the family was, quote, devastated by the loss, end quote. The senator said Philip was an incredible person, a dedicated Marine, a loving son and husband, and a proud Montanan and American. He heroically served the country he loved and gave it his all, end quote. Senator Baucus voted to authorize the war in Iraq in 2002. Earlier this summer, he joined other Democrats in voting to begin a phased redeployment of troops from Iraq by year's end. I'm not going to argue with anyone's statement upon receiving word that their relative was killed in a war zone. But just speaking generically, families whose sons or daughters are killed in Iraq, who I guess have to insist that their child or their husband or their parent died in the service of the United States. And I'm sorry, I don't accept that. The people that are dying in Iraq, Americans, that are dying in Iraq and having arms and legs and body parts blown off, are not there in the service of the United States. I mean, can't we just agree on that? Maybe we can find some other way to rationalize this madness, but as far as the war in Iraq, not one single American military man or woman is there in service of the United States. They are there in service of the Bush crime family. Period. If I were to lose a relative in that war, and I don't have any left that are of that age, I would not, and I mean this, I would not say that my relative had died in the service of the United States. According to what I have here, the Bush administration may have broken over 24 federal laws and regulations, some of them multiple times. That's according to an unreleased report from the House Judiciary Committee, from the Democrats. Ranking member John Conyers, who apparently wrote the draft report, said, quote, "The misconduct I have found is not only serious but widespread," end quote. And it goes on and on. It says the laws implicated by the administration's actions include federal laws against making false statements to Congress, federal laws and international treaties prohibiting torture and cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment, federal laws concerning retaliating against witnesses and other government employees, executive orders concerning leaking and other misuse of intelligence, federal regulations and ethical requirements governing conflicts of interest, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, communications privacy laws, the National Security Act, and the Fourth Amendment. The document is an update of the report last December from the Democrats. It was titled The Constitution in Crisis, and apparently it's going to be released later this week. Reports say it's several hundred pages long with over 1,000 footnotes. Now, in spite of this, Conyers has insisted that if the Democrats regain control of the House this November, he has no intention of, rushing to impeach. He has said that a slow walk to possible impeachment down a path that includes months of hearings is more what Chairman, well, he'll be Chairman Conyers has in mind. He doesn't want a rush to impeach. I think if the truth can ever work its way out, not because of American media. American media is nothing but a pack of street whores. And no offense to sex workers. I'm sorry, I don't mean to use you as examples. You know what I mean. If the truth is ever to work its way out to the American public, it's going to have to come from congressional hearings that are covered by bloggers, that are covered by what's left of, C-SPAN is still a viable source. But it will never be, with a couple glaring exceptions, it'll never be publicized, those hearings, in American media. We don't live in that kind of a country anymore. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Man. listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members can win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
And I can look you in the eye and tell you I feel I've tried to solve the problem diplomatically to the max and would have committed troops both in Afghanistan and Iraq knowing what I know today.
That's a sick son of a bitch, or else the worst lying thug ever, or both, to operate out of the White House. Oh, my God. The Institute for Public Accuracy, whom we quote frequently on this program, provides a list of experts on any given topic on any given day for possible interviews. We have had some of these people on occasionally, but more often than not, I just quote from the little blurbs that come with the announcement of what, or the press release of what experts are available on a given day. This one caught my eye. A man named Mahmoud Shaloub, who is, according to this, available for a limited number of interviews. Shaloub is originally from Qana, Lebanon. He's now owns a restaurant in Troy, Michigan. He lost 43 of his family members in Sunday's Israeli shelling in Qana. He said today, quote, "My cousin and his entire family were murdered. Only his wife survived. They found her under the rubble. How can she continue her life? This is very difficult to handle. I can't handle it." Now, he's talking about the insane, murderous bombing assault on the Lebanese town of Qana. And in Haaretz newspaper today, the Israeli newspaper, there is this. The deaths of dozens of civilians in an Israel Air Force attack on the southern Lebanese village of Qana marked a significant diplomatic turning point against Israel, Foreign Minister Zippy Livni said Tuesday. The foreign minister said that following the events in Qana, Israel's scope for political maneuvering had been reduced, as was the amount of European support Israel is receiving for its operation on Lebanese soil. The Association for Civil Rights in Israel on Tuesday urged Prime Minister Olmert to establish a state commission of inquiry into the killings of Qana. As the Israel Air Force continues to investigate the airstrike, questions have been raised over military accounts of the incident. It now appears that the military had no information on rockets launched from the site of the building or the presence of Hezbollah at the time. The Israel Defense Forces had said after the deadly airstrike that many rockets had been launched from Qana. However, it changed its version on Monday. Meanwhile, the Lebanese Red Cross workers reported on Monday that 28 bodies, 19 of them children, have been removed from the rubble. Additional bodies are expected to be found in rescue operations. Elsewhere in southern Lebanon, 49 bodies were removed Monday from the ruins of buildings in 10 villages. Medical sources in Lebanon say dozens more are buried in the rubble. Do you understand what Haaretz is saying here? In contradiction of every right-wing piece of human waste on the radio in this country, all these filthy right-wing talk show hosts who cheer the death of anyone in the Middle East that gets in the way of Israeli gun sites, it doesn't make any difference, man, woman, or child. Kill them all. Kill them all. I hear it here in Atlanta. Atlanta talk radio is like something you'd hear in Nazi Germany in the 30s if they had been even more insane than they actually were. There is a clutch of radio talk show hosts here in Atlanta that are astonishing. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. And I have to assume that they are deeply supported by the business class nationwide, but here, because these radio programs are just chock-a-block with advertising. I'm referring to WSB Radio, WGST Radio, WGUN Radio. It just goes on and on. Every single talk station in Atlanta it sounds like, oh my God, if they were talking about Jews in Germany instead of Arab speakers in the Middle East, you would think you were hearing people celebrate the Holocaust. And I think these evil sons of bitches who operate these radio programs would do just that. It doesn't make any difference who's being killed. It's unbelievable. These are the times when I get to the point where I feel like just resigning. Now, don't send me emails. I'm not going to. But, I mean, just resigning, getting the hell out of this garbage collection business that I'm in. This is really a vile business. It really is. You know, I've said before, I love my job, but I hate this business. But what this means, what the Lebanese Red Cross has been reporting, what Agence France-Presse has been reporting, what the Associated Press has been reporting, and now Haaretz is reporting, is that the Israeli military lied. There were zero rockets coming out of Khana. And that all those people murdered and slaughtered and butchered might as well have been the victims of a pogrom in Poland in 1943.
Hear it every Christmas time. The Pope and history won't rhyme. So what's it worth? This peace on earth. Peace on earth.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Orrick XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Orrick XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
man conservatives love to hate, it's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour, Jonathan Tessini is in our New York studio. He is running in the primary, Democratic primary, against Senator Hillary Clinton. Jonathan, welcome to the program again.
Hey, it's great to be back, Mike.
I read in the, was it the Daily News, the article today about your stand regarding Hillary Clinton's position. And, you know, I think you're absolutely right. There's so many people who are such great advocates of war in the United States House, United States Senate, who would run screaming from the room if somebody ever exposed them to what war is really like.
That's correct. And, you know, you think about the people who voted for this illegal and immoral war, and we're talking about Iraq in particular, and as far as I know, none of them, including Hillary Clinton, took their children or their grandchildren, their relatives by the hand and marched them down to the recruiting center and said, you know, I think so much of this war that I want you to go too.
You know, Max Baucus, the Democratic senator from Montana, his nephew, it was revealed today, was his Marine. He died in Iraq, I believe, yesterday. And Senator Baucus issued a statement through his office. It was his nephew, and he said, you know, he doesn't know how the family is going to handle this. But I cannot criticize anyone who deals with grief any way they need to deal with it. But part of the statement was that this, it sounded like an excellent young man, that he had died in service of his country. And I just said a moment ago on this program I've lost family members. I can understand how when you're in that kind of grief, you have to come up with something. But I can't, not talking about Baucus's nephew, but just talking generally, I can't believe that people who die in Iraq, Americans, are dying in the service of their country. I can't, Jonathan. You may have a different point of view on that, but I can't. We were lying to this war.
I think this war has been immoral. And, you know, one of the things, and this all came up because I've been very critical of Hillary Clinton's position on the current violence in between Lebanon and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen too many young people die. I lived in Israel for 7 years. My father was actually born there and fought in the Israeli underground that brought independence to Israel in 1948. My cousin was killed in the 1973 war. My step-grandfather was murdered by a Palestinian simply because he was a Jew. And I've just seen too many parents bury their children. And I think that in particular is the horror of war, that parents burying, you know, 22, 23-year-olds that were expected to outlive them. And people like Hillary Clinton, you know, just come short of saying, let the bombs fall, yet they have never experienced that kind of tragedy. They've never sat in a bomb shelter while bombs were falling. And they don't really know what war is. But, you know, in terms of pandering and trying to get votes, you know, no holds barred. And I think that's just completely outrageous. And I think we have to hold the politicians like Hillary Clinton and George Bush accountable for these deaths that they caused by their actions, by their votes, and ordering people to war.
Well, I certainly agree with you. I want to come back to your take on what's happening now between Israel and Lebanon. The New York Daily News article also said that Clinton is avoiding a debate with you.
Yeah, you know, that's pretty typical. She does not want to debate me. I think there's, you know, there's a recent poll that was taken in the first poll that came out in our race. And one of the things that was striking to me, aside from what I'm polling at, is that 70% of the Democratic primary voters in New York want the Iraq war to be a central issue in the campaign. And 62% say they will vote for someone who is opposing the war, and only 9% will vote for someone who supports the war. And I am completely opposed to the war. Hillary Clinton has supported this war from the beginning, continues to support it, and she fears deeply having to get into a debate with me, because all of a sudden Democratic primary voters will know where she stands, not just about the war, but so many other issues that she's completely different from where the Democratic primary voters are. So she's avoiding it, and we're just going to have to keep pressuring.
I agree with what you're saying. People have got to be held accountable. The hell that has erupted in the Middle East, not just Iraq, but all over the Middle East as a result of U.S. foreign policy over the past 5 years is just, it's the damage that's being done here, Jonathan, I think you understand this too. The damage that's being done is going to take generations to repair. I don't think you and I will live, well, I know I won't, but to live long enough to see respect for the United States, some sort of equilibrium established in the Middle East, it's going to take forever to repair this damage. And it really made me sick. I was kind of a supporter of the Clinton administration. There are a lot of things I've said before. I thought Bill Clinton was the best Republican president this country ever had. There's a lot of things he did that I really support. A lot of things he did that I thought were outrageously wrong. But so what? You know, I'm just a voter. But Hillary's stance now, you talk about pandering. I can't stand it. I can't stand to see. I'm not surprised, but I can't stand to see this kind of pandering.
Well, you know, when the violence broke out between Lebanon and Israel, just between Hezbollah and Israel, there were two statements made. The one that Hillary Clinton made essentially fanned the flames of war and took a one-sided position, and I think caused great damage. You know, Hillary Clinton wants to be a national figure. And with that comes some responsibility, and I think she could have done something positive by saying, wait a minute, folks, there's no good here that's going to come from this violence. I, on the other hand, immediately condemned both the Hezbollah violence and their breaking of international law, but at the same time, I Israel, which I care deeply about. My family still lives there. I said that Israel's response was disproportionate. And what happened just now in Konya with the killing of dozens of children was not really a mistake in the sense that it was inevitable that when you bomb heavily in civilian areas, civilians and children, particularly children, women, innocents, are going to be killed. That was inevitable. And I called for a ceasefire from the very beginning and for people to calm down. You know, I like to, it's a funny thing for me to harken back to Ariel Sharon, but Ariel Sharon, for all the things that we think about him, when an Israeli businessman was kidnapped, rather than go to war, Ariel Sharon agreed to negotiate, and he ended up releasing many, many prisoners that Israel had held. I do not, for the life of me, understand why Israel could not have done that, and it's done harm to Israel in the eyes of the world. By showing restraint, I think much of the international community would have condemned, including many countries in the Arab world, would have condemned what Hezbollah had done. Instead, you have the entire world in shock at the damage that Israel is causing to Lebanon.
Well, I got the impression at the beginning of this that several Arab countries, granted they are not democracies, but several Arab countries did begin with at least a mild a condemnation of what Hezbollah had done. But are you aware of what Haaretz is reporting today, that the bombing in Qana was, which was based on Hezbollah rockets being launched from there, that Haaretz is now reporting that the Israeli military says, oops, we made a mistake. There were no rockets launched from Qana.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, this is what happens in the so-called fog of war. Things are not, you never know what's happening. I don't believe that Israel would intentionally target civilians. But in the fog of war, when you're conducting this kind of aerial bombing, it's vicious. And it's, you look back in history, that's what happened in Vietnam, and that is what happens in every war. When you bomb cities, you basically target, you basically kill civilians. And it is just a tragedy beyond proportions to watch the bodies being dragged out of old women and children. And your point about, I think you made a very important point about some of the Arab countries initially criticizing Hezbollah. I remember reading a story, I believe it was in the New York Times, about a number of Lebanese people who said, look, we didn't like Hezbollah. We hated Hezbollah. But because Israel is bombing our country, we are forced to support Hezbollah. So you had all these people in Lebanon, and I think it's true throughout the Arab world, in Gaza and the West Bank, who do not come out and hate Israel in the same way that the extremists do. But Israel forces this upon themselves, and I believe its conduct hurts its own security, doesn't help it.
What can you possibly do, Jonathan, you specifically, but senators generally speaking in the United States, to bring an end, or at least the beginning of the end of this insanity, whether it's targeting Iran or the war in Iraq, or the occupation, I should say, or the support, the unqualified support of Saudi Arabia, or the unqualified support of Israel, or the bombings and the murders and the slaughter from the suicide bombers to what is now being referred to in some quarters as state terrorism by Israel. This is a horrifying mess. What can you do to bring this...
Well, I think one of the things that I'm trying to do as I run here in this Senate race is get people to think about a different approach to foreign policy and how we relate to the world. You know, Senator Clinton and other people often refer to people like me and others who believe in negotiations as people who are naive,
right,
and don't understand, quote-unquote, the way the world works. Well, you know what? They have screwed up the world for many, many decades in responding immediately with war and threats. There's nothing that I can see that people can point to that shows how wonderful a world both the Democrats and the Republicans have created in terms of foreign policy. I believe that we have to treat these conflicts. You know, you go back to the old kids fighting in the sandbox, mm-hmm, which is often what this kind of rests on. It's really about trying to figure out not who's responsible and pointing fingers, but how do you move to the next stage?
Well, that's what I got to take a break here, Jonathan. Maybe you can address that. How would you move to the next stage? During the Carter years, during the Clinton years, I started to get the feeling that maybe, just possibly, that there was a breakthrough between the Israelis and the Palestinians, always to see it shattered ultimately. And then when Bush was handed the presidency, I knew it was doomed. But I want to ask you, right after this break, how do we get to that next level? This is Air America.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for The Forward. That's 800-858-5800. 5800.
We'll be right back.
your host for a Pience, Friance future, it's Mike Malloy.
As George Bush would say, this is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy. We're talking with Jonathan Tessini, who is in the Democratic primary coming up very soon against Hillary Rodham Clinton as for the Senate in the state of New York. The next level, Jonathan, what will you do as a senator to move the various governments, the various players, I hate that term, but the various players in the Middle East crisis, all of them?
Well, the first thing, I guess, it is true that it's the president who conducts foreign policy and has to actually move the players. I think what a United States senator can do is a couple of things. One is present a front, a position that is not one-sided. And I think in the United States we've had for too long a one-sided policy to the Middle East, and we haven't seen enough of both sides, and we haven't said very clearly, and what I've stated very clearly, is that there will never be peace in the Middle East until there is an independent Palestinian state that's not cut up into Bantustans, but economically viable, secure, right alongside a secure, vibrant, prosperous Israel. And I firmly believe that. And in a concrete way, you know, I've been floating this idea as I've talked to audiences. You know, look at what happened when Hamas was elected in the government.
Mm-hmm.
My view is that Hamas was primarily elected because of the desperate poverty that people feel in the West Bank and in Gaza. 70% of people in Gaza are unemployed. They're just desperate. And what Hamas was able to do, which the PLO, because it was frankly corrupt, could not do, was set up a string of social services throughout the area.
Right.
And people very much loved that and felt that Hamas was dealing with their economic and somewhat their spiritual issues, not so much about national security. So if I was the Prime Minister of Israel, if I was a United States Senator, I would try to push this. I would say, Hamas, you've been elected now, and you have two choices. I as the Prime Minister, am willing to go to the international community and raise $2 or $3 or $5 billion to completely reconstruct Gaza and bring in jobs. But you have to do two things. You have to stop firing these Qassam rockets, and you have to, if not immediately recognize us, Israel, at least get into negotiations about a lasting peace. And I think that would have put Hamas in a very difficult position. They would have either had to accept it, or had they rejected it, I guarantee you Hamas would have been thrown out of office and unelected at that very next election. Because people in Gaza and in the West Bank want peace, they want to have some sort of quiet, they want economic prosperity.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I think Israel took the position, the United States supported, that let's just cut off Hamas, not give them money, and try to choke them. And I think that was the wrong response.
Well, is it not true that one of the first things that the Bush administration did was to cut off a support that had been going to the PLO, a financial support from the United States government in order to try to stabilize that situation immediately, that as soon as Hamas took over, boom, no more money.
Yeah, and I think, that, you know, I understand the mentality that pushes, but I think that the opposite would have been much better, because it puts it not only puts the, you know, the government that took over in a difficult position, if you will, but it says to the international community, look, we're going the extra mile, we want to try to create peace. And I think it would have moved some people there. And again, as it's as much about winning the support and the, if you will, again, a bad cliche, the hearts and minds
mm-hmm.
of the people in the West Bank and Gaza.
I hope that when you are elected senator, Jonathan, that what you're saying becomes your policy. I'm not trying to be patronizing here in the least. I have great respect for what you're saying, but I think a lot of Americans have heard rhetorical flourishes before, where they talk
sure.
about when people are running for office, they talk about, well, there has to be balance, there has to be peace, there has to be two states. And once they get into office, all of a sudden that disappears, and it's 100% support for the state of Israel, no matter what Israel does. My position on Israel is it's a sovereign nation, and it's subject to criticism here in the United States in the same manner that any sovereign nation is subject to criticism.
And I'm very, you know, I always say to people, look, I'm a very, very patriotic American. I'm proud of many things the country does, but I am harshly, harshly critical of this government. And the only way to be patriotic is to call your government into question when it does the wrong thing. And I feel the same way about Israel. But, you know, it's where my heart is. You know, people go to our website, which is TassiniForNewYork.org, T-A-S-I-N-I, for New York, all spelled out. And, you know, you can look at where I'm coming from. This is, I feel passionately about because I know it's the only way. And I was involved in the peace movement in the 1970s in Israel, and I was saying those things now. I'm not a professional politician. I'm there to try to change the politics of America and, frankly, some of the politics of the world. I can't do that alone, but I certainly know where my heart is and what I'm committed to.
Well, I hope that when's the primary, the 8th?
The primary is September 12th, actually.
The
12th. I gave the website TassiniForNewYork.org.
Right.
If your listeners also want to, you know, we're trying to keep this voice going. If you want to go in there and donate some money, whatever you can do, please help us. We're up against Hillary Clinton, who has $25 million in the bank, thanks to, among others, Rupert Murdoch and some of her other corporate donors.
Isn't that astonishing?
Well, it is for some people, but, you know, with all due respect, you know, her background is a corporate lawyer who sat,
well, that's true, sure.
Sat on the board of Walmart for 6 years. I mean, this is not surprising to me, but it is definitely surprising to, you know, many of sort of the general public.
Right, right. We always mention the website, specifically whatever progressive Democrat that we've had on this program for a chat, because of the money issue, even folks who are not in the state of New York, it makes no difference. The money is needed, and as we've said so many times before, if liberals or progressives are really serious about corporate money, and getting it out, then do something. Jonathan, let's try to talk one more time before the primary, okay?
All right, I'm happy to come back. I'd love to be in the show. Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks, Jonathan. I appreciate
it.
Best of luck. All right, hang in there.
Bye.
TassiniForNewYork.org. Is that right, Kathy? TassiniForNewYork.org. All right, well, check it out, and we'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
The walls close in. The air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grand County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter, now a yellow paperback.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Air America Radio News, I'm Mark Shearer. President Bush took his annual physical today, and his doctors pronounced him healthy and in better shape than most men his age. But the president himself seemed a little upset about packing on some extra pounds.
Doing fine. Health's fine. Probably ate too many birthday cakes.
Bush was 5 pounds heavier than he was this time a year ago. He wrote it off to 60th birthday parties, too many of them recently. Doctors treated a small precancerous lesion on Bush's left arm, but indicated it was nothing serious. They told him to use sunscreen and wear a hat. Fidel Castro has put out a public statement about his health the day after it was revealed that he's in the hospital. Castro said in the statement read on Cuban television that his health is stable, and where his spirits were concerned, he feels perfectly fine. But he went on to say, quote, I cannot make up positive news, end quote. 2 American and 1 British soldier are among more than 70 people counted dead in Iraq today. This comes as U.S. forces prepared to move in thousands more troops to the capital to try to take back Baghdad's streets. Those killed in bombings and shootings today included 20 Iraqi soldiers who died when their bus was torn apart by a bomb. Democratic Senator Max Baucus of Montana says he and his family are devastated by the loss of his nephew in Iraq. Marine Corporal Philip Baucus died Saturday during combat operations in Iraq's Anbar province. He was 28 years old. Senator Baucus voted to authorize war in Iraq back in 2002, but earlier this summer he joined other Democrats in voting to begin a phased redeployment of troops out of Iraq by the end of the year. Well, this certainly didn't take long. The UN Security Council passed a resolution yesterday calling for Iran to suspend uranium enrichment by August 31st or face the threat of economic and diplomatic sanctions. Iraq's president rejected it today, saying his country would not give in to United Nations threats. And the Bush administration's nominee to head the Food and Drug Administration, Dr. Andrew von Eschenbach, was grilled at his confirmation hearing today about his handling of proposed over-the-counter sales of the morning-after contraceptive, something the administration has been stalling. Senators hammered him about the timing of a surprise FDA announcement yesterday, suggesting it would begin considering expanding access to the morning-after pill. I'm Mark Shearer, Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. The website is Ticini for Ticini for Congress. No, is that right? TassiniForNewYork.org. T-A-S-I-N-I for NewYork.org. One of our frequent correspondents sent this email in regarding the Hillary Rupert Murdoch thing. Mike writes, my theory on why Murdoch is supporting Hillary? If she gets the Democratic nomination in 2008, she'll never win. I tend to agree with that. We are still in a place in this country where a woman or a so-called minority candidate, I don't believe, can garner enough votes to get elected. Now, if 85 or 90% of eligible voters went to the polls, that wouldn't be the case. But that's not what happens. You know that's not what happens. We're lucky if we get 53% of potentially eligible voters to vote. So given that small a number, and then you divide that in half between Democrats and Republicans, and a few more points shaved off each one for independent candidates, and what have you got left? Presidential contests, when they are legitimate in this country, which has not been the case for the past two, but presidential elections are usually decided by maybe, overall, maybe 16% of the voters. And not that I would support Hillary. I absolutely do not support Hillary Clinton on any level whatsoever regarding the Senate. As far as her being a nice person, I don't know whether she is or not, but we're talking about her her run for the Senate, and she would just never be the candidate I would support if I were in New York. I hope Jonathan Ticini dethrones her. I really do. I really do. But as far as Hillary Clinton for president, that won't happen in my lifetime or yours. We live in America. We live in the United States of America. We don't elect uppity women. Well, I know there's some female members of Congress, some female governors. I understand. But those are not national elections. So just tuck it away. Not that I would support Hillary. I don't. But the broader picture is that we are still locked into that. We don't support for national political office female or so-called minority. You disagree? The United Nations Environment Program has expressed its, quote, grave concern, end quote, about oil pollution in Lebanese coastal waters. An oil slick caused by Israeli bombing of the GF power station now covers 50 miles of Lebanon's coast. Local environmental groups there describe the slick as, quote, an environmental disaster, end quote. Almost as much oil may have entered the water as during the 1989 Exxon Valdez tanker incident in Alaska, which led to widespread ecological damage. The UN and other international organizations are assisting the Lebanese government as it attempts to contain thousands of tons of oil. Wow. One thing I did not know, Ehud Olmert, the acting prime minister of Israel, has never been in the military. Isn't that interesting? I'm guessing he's the first Israeli prime minister, acting or not acting, who has never been in the military. That could explain his cavalier attitude of sending up to, it's my understanding now, 3,000 to 10,000 Israeli troops into Lebanon. This is an invasion. What's this about? Two captured soldiers? Huh? Okay. As Jonathan pointed out, even Ariel Sharon, when there was a legitimate kidnapping of an Israeli businessman, when you capture soldiers, it's not called a kidnapping. But even Sharon was willing to negotiate and did negotiate. And the situation Ticini was talking about was settled without an invasion, without the mass slaughter. Sharon was much very capable of mass slaughters without using the kidnapping of an Israeli businessman as an excuse. We all know about Ariel Sharon. This is it comes to me In the subject line, it says, letter to child in rubble. And then in the email, it says, an apology to the child in the Khanna rubble. By the way, I've been told that Khanna, or as it's anglicized spelling, C-A-N-A, was supposedly where Jesus performed his first miracle, the turning of water into wine. You know, if you believe that, it was in that Lebanese town where that occurred. Apology to the child in the Khanna rubble. I wish it was satisfying to say that you're in a good place now. Your life cut short so violently, so suddenly. What was going through your little head as you were trapped under the rubble? Were you screaming until you no longer could produce a sound and your mouth parched? Could you hear others in the rubble, or were your eardrums shattered in the blast? Were your arms trapped and not able to wipe the blood out of your eyes to see where you were? Could you see your mother, and was her sight comforting at all? How long were you lying there waiting for the help that never came? Were you scared, thirsty, painful? Did you understand what was happening to you as the endless minutes and hours went by and the air was getting thinner and thinner in your lungs? Did you die alone? I'm so sorry that no one was there to help you, that we failed you, that the world failed you, that my president and secretary of state did not see any value in an immediate ceasefire that would have spared you. I'm sorry that the world will forget you like it did many before you, that your suffering will be repeated by other children as the war escalates. Please know that you're in my thoughts when I rise out of bed in the morning, when I read my newspaper, on my way home from work. You're in my heart, and I will always remember you. Please forgive us for failing you, and may you rest in peace. Nicholas in Lakeside, California, sent that to me. I debated whether or not to read that because it's too too real, I am incapable now of allowing my mind to go to those scenes of from war, of children dying alone, screaming, not knowing why. I can't go there. This email is from Kay in Hawaii. Kay writes, remember the other night when you lauded Judaism as a religion that esteems life above all else? Yeah, I remember. I said that to me Judaism was a philosophy, to me a philosophy more than a religion. And I know, don't argue with me about it. It's just my point of view, okay? And that my take on Judaism was that it was very humanistic, a mindset that sought justice. Right? Okay. So Kay wants to know if I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. Kay writes, I found that a bit generous, your position, considering my 40 years of Old Testament studies and the endless slaughter of innocents that takes place in its pages. Yeah, well, I agree, Kay. I mean, even as I said it, you know, I know about the how the Canaanites were butchered. Joshua crossed the River Jordan with explicit instructions from their desert god to go over there and kill everybody. I understand. The Passover of in Egypt, of the utter merciless slaughter of the firstborn of everything. Yeah, I understand. But see, I see that as mythology. I guess what I'm talking about is Judaism, as I've come to know it, as a living human being. Anyway, Kay writes, from my 40 years of Old Testament studies, in this endless slaughter of innocents takes place in its pages. I thought you were pretty generous. However, here's something modern. And Kay sends me this. This is from the Yesha Rabbinical Council. And it says that during time of war, the enemy has no innocence. It says, the Yesha Rabbinical Council announced in response to an IDF attack in Kfar Kahana that, quote, according to Jewish law, during a time of battle and war, there is no such term as innocence of the enemy. innocence, plural, noun. All of the discussions on Christian morality are weakening the spirit of the army and the nation and are costing us in the blood of our soldiers and civilians, the statement said. Well, that's news to me. I don't know who the Yeshe Rabbinical Council is. It's at ynetnews.com. So I have no idea who this is, but you know, you live and learn, right? I had no idea that. I know the Christians feel that way, I think. But anyway. Your phone calls when we come back. I'm Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
If you're perfectly comfortable with all that's been done, gaze at your daughters and gaze at your sons. Ask yourself this question over again. Would you be perfectly happy if it happened to them? If you're perfectly comfortable, come into our friends.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's Sony Card. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
responded to the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Yeah, way to go, Chuckle Nuts. All right, let's do some of these. We're going to come to your calls in a minute. The number is 866-303-2270. This is Tony Snow, Foxy the Snowman at the briefing today. Helen Thomas asks about the big headline over the weekend that never actually happened. Israel agrees to ceasefire. Helen Thomas begins by saying, my question is, how does the president feel about the breaking of the temporary truce in Lebanon?
You know, I will direct all questions about Israel's tactics and how it matches up with rhetoric to them. But the way it was presented to us was not just a blanket ceasefire. The one thing that was blanket was 24 hours of free passage for humanitarian aid and also for people to get out of the area.
Still against a ceasefire?
Well, the president's for a ceasefire, but he's for a sustainable ceasefire and a lasting peace. An immediate ceasefire is something that at this point doesn't seem to be in the cards. Neither side is headed that way. But what the president's working on and what our allies are working on are providing those conditions for a sustainable ceasefire, which means being able to move into southern Lebanon, the Lebanese armed forces.
Doesn't that mean many more people are going to die?
I hope not. I think everybody hopes not.
Okay, well, hope in one hand and spit in the other and see which one fills up quicker, right? Now, reporter Victoria Jackson, in the next question here, asked Snowjob about Republican Senator Chuck Hagel's very vocal and pointed criticism yesterday of Bush's, I don't want to say Mideast foreign policy because he doesn't have one, but Bush's incredible murderous ineptitude in the Middle East in ignoring our so-called friends in the Arab world. Victoria Jackson says, Senator Chuck Hagel yesterday said that the president should appoint a statesman of global stature, experience, and ability to serve as his personal envoy to the region, who would report directly to the president. So what is the president's reaction to that? It seems to implicate that perhaps he doesn't have very much confidence in Secretary Rice. Are you concerned that a senior Republican senator does not have confidence in Secretary Rice?
The president right now, I'm not going to get into characterizing it, but the president has full confidence. And it would be interesting to ask Senator Hagel what he is, because he was not specific about it. If you can give me a specific characterization, you're trying to draw a conclusion from his comments. I'm not sure he's ready to draw that conclusion, but if he is, okay. Mike.
James, however, he gave...
I appreciate that. But again, Secretary Rice is like, here, let me make the point, because it's worth making the point. But again, the United States has achieved significant diplomatic achievements on the North Korean front, on the Iranian front,
what?
And soon with the Middle East. That is a demonstration of effective diplomacy.
What? The United States has achieved significant diplomacy. Oh my God, this guy is on bad drugs of some sort, Tony Snow. North Korea has nukes. Iran wants them. Russia might help Iran out. India and Pakistan are on the verge of nuclear war. China chewed up our spy plane and spit it out, spit it back to us in pieces. The Taliban is back in Afghanistan with a vengeance and a bumper crop of opium. Syria is seriously considering war with Israel. Our relationship with Lebanon is in peril. In the name of diplomacy, we preemptively bombed a nation that did nothing to us, so we're seen as murderers and occupiers in Iraq, which, by the way, has fallen into total civil war, with thousands of American and Iraqi dead, tens of thousands maimed and tortured, and as a result of that, we've become almost universally hated in the world. If that's effective diplomacy, then what does foreign policy failure look like? Jesus, I hate these people. Effective foreign policy with the shoe lady and Bush eating his crab quesadillas down in Miami last night? Oh, please. Come on. Man, bring back, what the hell is his name? Bring back the former press secretary, the quacking quackaroo. Yeah, thanks. Scotty McClellan, Jesus, these names are just interchangeable, like, I don't know, blown to pieces body parts, huh?
W's got a mission, yeah. W's got a plan, W's got a pistol, it's burning in his hand, cause he's turning the world into one big Texas.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
The walls close in. The air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter. Now a dull paperback.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
capable of conducting foreign policy for the United States in a way that reflects positively on my nation.
Yeah, okay. Regarding the diplomatic front that Tony Snow was talking about, James emails in, Condoleezza Rice had the door slammed in her face when Lebanon told her to take a hike until the ceasefire was in place. How many times do you suppose U.S. Secretary of State has been told to get lost by an ally? Yeah, these people live in, I don't know, in the bottom of a toilet filled with lysergic acid. Now, Chuck Hagel, this is what Tony Snow is talking about from his remarks on the Senate floor yesterday. It's got to be embarrassing for the Bush crime family. Well, come to think of it, no, nothing embarrasses them. But in a different universe, it would be embarrassing for the Bush crime family to have such an important Republican break ranks so completely and dramatically, calling for an immediate ceasefire. It's hard to argue his logic, whether you support Chuck Hagel or not, which I don't. I think Chuck Hagel is, I don't think he should be a senator for several reasons, not the least of which he was on the board of directors of, I think it was ESS, one of those touchscreen voting machine companies, and amazingly, he won the election to be senator when all the polls and the exit polls showed him losing. But that's a different story. So, you know, Chuck Hagel, I couldn't care less. But a stopped clock is right twice a day. So it's hard to argue with this logic here that having the United States give 100% support to Israel is not helping Israel in the long run, as because this kind of one-sided policy guarantees more violence and more war and more bloodshed.
Our relationship with Israel is a special and historic one, but it need not and cannot be at the expense of our Arab and Muslim relationships. That is an irresponsible and dangerous false choice. Achieving a lasting resolution to the Arab-Israeli conflict is as much in Israel's interest as in any country in the world.
Now, expect Hagel to be attacked mercilessly by AIPAC, the American-Israel Political Action Committee, or whatever they call themselves now. A member of the Senate or a member of the House speaking out like this in a roundabout way against the policies of Israel, even though that's not what he's saying. He's talking about our support of the policies of Israel. But no matter, there is an unspoken rule. This is one of the reasons that I think Hillary Clinton has so totally become a panderer. Whatever her personal opinion, and I honestly do not believe that her personal opinion is more killing, more bombing, more destruction, more death in Lebanon. I can't believe that. I may be wrong. Maybe Hillary is like these other bloodsuckers and enjoys feasting on human flesh and warm baby blood. I don't know. I doubt it. But she's pandering. Absolutely pandering. So Chuck Hagel, in these statements, is setting himself up for a frontal assault by AIPAC, and it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next few weeks, or whether or not they work like Ralph Reed. What did Ralph Reed say? He likes to work in the dark, and nobody knows what happened until they start counting the bounty, start counting the body bags. Oh, wasn't Ralph Reed such a macho little twerp? Anyway, here Hagel details why the Bush administration's isolationist philosophy is doomed, and why it only causes more war and global hatred.
The United States and Israel must understand that it is not in their long-term interest to allow themselves to become isolated in the Middle East and the world. Neither can allow themselves to drift into an us-against-the-world global optic or zero-sum game. That would marginalize America's global leadership, our trust, and influence.
Wow, where's that?
Further isolating Israel. And it would prove disastrous for both countries as well as the region. It is in Israel's interest as much as ours that the United States be seen by all states in the Middle East as fair.
But Chuck,
this is the currency of trust.
Chuck, you've been long enough, either as a cheesy businessman or whatever the hell you did before you weaseled your way into the Senate, to know that your statement that the United States should be seen by all states in the Middle East as fair, that that is so far off the mark as to put it, you know, seven states away from wherever the hell you made the speech, I guess in Washington. Forget about that. We're not seen as fair. We haven't been seen as fair for 50 years. Come on, Chuck. Come on. I don't know what Chuck's game is here, but maybe he's an anti-Semite, huh? What do you think? And he says, the United States and Israel must understand that it's not in their long-term interest to allow themselves to become isolated in the Middle East. Hello? To become? Wrong tense. My God. That's not, well, yeah, wrong tense. He says, we can't allow ourselves to drift into an us against the world zero-sum game. What the hell are we in, Chuck? Come on. And he says that would marginalize America's global leadership, America's trust, and America's influence. Chuck has been getting into the cooking sherry, I think. That's an asinine statement. Like I say, everybody's got their bloomers in a wad over Chuck Hagel's statement because he makes this kind of weak-kneed, well, we can't even be, come on, Chuck, get in the game. Now, after listening to this last clip, I want all of you good Republicans who agree with Bush's unilateral support of Israel to ask yourself this question. Is Chuck Hagel an anti-Semite? Does Chuck Hagel hate America? Is Chuck Hagel siding with the terrorists?
How do we realistically believe that a continuation of the systematic destruction of an American friend, the country and people of Lebanon, is going to enhance America's image and give us the trust and credibility to lead a lasting and sustained peace effort in the Middle East? The sickening slaughter on both sides, Mr. President, must end, and it must end now. President Bush must call for an immediate ceasefire. This madness must stop.
Well, okay, but at the risk of my being attacked by AIPAC, I wonder how many email messages Air America gets from AIPAC saying you got to get rid of that goddamn Malloy. At the risk of my being targeted, when Chuck Hagel says the sickening slaughter on both sides must end now, what is he referring to? Are apartment buildings filled with Israeli children being flattened by these rockets from Hezbollah? I mean, if they are, I haven't read about it in the news, and I'm not trying to be a smartass here. I'm just saying, when Chuck Hagel talks about the sickening slaughter, he can talk about Hezbollah's rocket attacks against Haifa or against the villages in northern Israel. But if he's going to find an equivalency between the IDF attack on South Lebanon and the slaughter now of, it's approaching 1,000, is what I read today, about 80%, 90% of whom are civilians. If that has the equivalency of the number of dead, and I don't know what it is, civilian death in northern Israel, but I will guarantee you that if it were substantial, it would be all over the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post or CNN or MSNBC, and it is not. So I'm assuming that the balance of death in Lebanon is not unlike the balance of death in Iraq. We've lost 2,700. They've lost 150,000. Is that what we're talking about here? I can't stand it when I see this statements like the sickening slaughter on both sides must end now. All right, let's take a couple of phone calls. Mark is calling from Phoenix. Mark, let me ask you, is Chuck Hagel a terrorist sympathizer?
Dittos, Mike, dittos.
Mark, Mark, is Chuck Hagel anti-Semitic?
I don't like him. He's a Republican turncoat.
Is he a terrorist sympathizer then?
I don't know. It's all too complicated. But listen.
All right, if it's too complicated for you, get out of here. Goodbye. See you later. Mark, if you're that, if you can't answer a simple question, what the hell did you call in for?
I don't like Mel Gibson. What do you want me to tell you?
Well, what's your point? Mel Gibson, I asked you about Chuck Hagel. Is he a terrorist sympathizer, yes or no?
Yes.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
You're a sick man. What else you got to say, Mark?
I want to know why we're not discussing Mel Gibson tonight.
Why should we? Is that your mental level? Are you one of these star screwers that you like to see what the stars are doing and suck up to them? Is that how you get your validity, Mark?
No.
All right, Mark, goodbye. Call me sometime when you're sober. Get out of here. Get him out of here. Take him off the line. I don't want to see this freak again. Jesus. Mel Gibson? Is that that Limbaugh caller who called me the other night and started screaming atheist? All right, Mark, look, turn the lights back on, put your pants back on, stop playing with yourself, and go listen to something else. You don't want to hear this program. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. It's easy to control the scare, so they keep us in bed. With their favorite Middle Eastern demon named Bin Laden, us, yeah. Books disguises blood, comes his patriotism, convincing the living to love operation and Seattle. But when he realized we don't support their attacks, they needed something to distract, huh, and crack. Let's further demonize his identity. So America's cheered while we kill the innocent family. And what better place to start a war? To build a pipeline to get the oil that they had wanted before.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL Ultra has an 8-year guarantee. The reason my warranties are so much stronger is that my American-made vacuums are so much stronger. Orrick XLs clean thousands of hotel rooms every day. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. You'll still be breaking in an Orrick while other vacuums are broken down.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
We'll be right back.
enigma with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's more Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Sue sends this email in about Hegel. She writes, doesn't Hegel know Dean got in trouble big time during the Democratic primary when he said the U.S. should be even-handed in the Middle East? Dean was forced to back down. Dean has stayed back down. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes. There is an unwritten rule, or maybe it's written down somewhere, but it's an unwritten rule. If you're a politician in this country, you do not criticize Israel. Now, you may criticize Israel surreptitiously when you are back in Oklahoma or Iowa or West Texas running for office again, you know, at a private dinner of big Gentile contributors. You may talk about them Jews, and you know, God help you if somebody records it and it gets out in the media. But making statements on the floor of the House or the Senate that are not 100% in support of Israel, or voting for any resolution in the House or the Senate that is not 100% in support of Israel, is a kiss of death. It just is. I'm not editorializing on whether that's right or wrong. You make your own decision about that. But that is a given in American politics. It is. It simply is. You know it. I don't care who you are. If you're hearing this program tonight, whether you're Jew, Gentile, black, white, gay, straight, man, woman, I don't care. You know that's the truth. Now, I said the Yesha Rabbinical Council had announced in response to the Israeli Defense Force attack on Anna that killed all the children, and no reason now, apparently. It's being reported in Israel. The Israeli military is saying there were no rockets coming from Anna. But the Yesha Rabbinical Council said, according to Jewish law, during a time of battle and war, there's no such term as innocence of the enemy. All of the discussions on Christian morality are weakening the spirit of the army and the nation and are costing us in the blood of our soldiers and civilians. End quote. Now I get this from Barnaby, who emails in, every time you see the word Yesha, Y-E-S-H-A, watch out. It's the Zionist extremists' favorite term for the occupied territories, being an acronym of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza. The so-called Yesha rabbinical authority there represents the affairs of the knit-capped settlers, you know, the murderous, ultra-messianic, greater Israel types. Naturally, with a selective reading of the Talmud, ironically a favorite tactic of anti-Semites, they would promote death and destruction. As far as I am concerned, no major rabbinical authority recognizes them, save for perhaps the Jerusalem rabbinate. And obviously, Barnaby knows what he's talking about and what I would assume is Jewish. Thanks, Barnaby, for sending that in. All right. Let's go back to some phone calls here. We have some open lines, so if you want to get in here, 866-303-2270. Parvis is calling from Larchmont, New York. Parvis, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Yes.
I was just came out to buy a paper. It's late now. New York, and I got New York Daily News, and it has a picture in front which says Town of the Living Dead, and it's talking about Ben Jabel, and it's heart-rendering. When you look at these babies, these people, these old people, young people, you look at their faces, they just look like ghosts. They don't know what's happening to them, why this is happening to them. Israel has attacked Lebanon 7 times, for heaven's sake. They're so aggressive, and always they kill, you know. In Cana, the other day, when they killed so many people, including 30-some children, they did the same thing. During Shimon Peres's prime ministership, they did the same thing in 1996, and they denied it. And the great reporter, British reporter, Robert Fisk, went over there and took the videos from a UN worker. At that time, they bombed the UN refugee camp,
right,
and killed over 100 people. And he rushed over there and got that video and wrote about it in one of the journals or newspapers in England. And that's how he got out. And now a brave person, lady, from Center of Constitutional Rights is suing a general who was in charge and sent that drone to kill those people. Right now they're suing him in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I hope they won't throw it out. What I want to say is that this is going to backfire. This is going to make Israel weaker. U.S. already has lost its leadership. U.S. is not the world leader. Anything Israel does, U.S. approves of it. And this is wrong. Israelis are now committing atrocities that the Nazis committed against the Jews. Now they're doing it against Arabs. You know, Moshe Dayan wrote an article, and he said that the Arabs are dirty, and they're like drunken cockroaches, and we have to step on them and crush them. I mean, this is the kind of attitude, racist attitude, that these Zionists have toward the Arabs and toward the Muslims. You know, as I said, I came here in 1963, and the Israelis and Americans and the British and Japanese started doing experiments on my babies. And I'm a Muslim, you know, from Iran. So I started a war against a family, and we are, you know, we are a peaceful family. I came here as a student. And this against the international law, against the UN law, U.S. laws, that they attacked a Muslim family from Iran and did experiments on my babies.
Well, that, you know...
This is terrible.
I understand.
So let me not talk about me, but let me tell you.
Pardis, hold on. Okay. I've got to go. But I just wanted to say.
I just wanted to say
this was the point that Chuck Hagel was making, that the U.S. isn't doing Israel any favors with
that's
this kind
exactly
of support,
right.
Only fueling the fires in the Arab world. Pardis, I've got to leave it there. I appreciate you checking in, but I've got
to
move
on.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
we'll be back
you.
After the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
Here, America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. Israel is reportedly ready to swap 2 Lebanese prisoners for 2 of its soldiers captured by Hezbollah fighters, the action that sparked the now 3-week-old Israeli assault on Lebanon. The report is carried by Israel's Haaretz newspaper and quotes both government and defense sources. President Bush accuses Iran and Syria of sponsoring terrorism in the Middle East. In an exclusive interview with Fox News, Bush said the two nations have been supporting Hezbollah for years.
They're using their techniques and tactics, the destruction of innocent life, to stop the advance of democracy. And this is a real challenge of our time. And Iran and Syria are involved, and they've got to stop doing it.
He also said he thinks Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez is a threat to democracy, but is not a military threat to the U.S. Israeli Vice Prime Minister Shimon Peres says he regrets the deaths of dozens of children in an airstrike in southern Lebanon, but added, in war there are mistakes, unfortunately. He told the Council on Foreign Relations in New York the three-week-old war was sparked by Hezbollah's rocket attacks into Israel, which he called an attempt to weaken Israel's spirit. Friends, family, and community members in Seattle, Washington, paused Monday to remember the woman killed in Friday's shooting rampage at the Jewish Federation offices. Patty Lane has more.
Community members, friends, and family of Pam Wechter packed Temple B'nai Torah Temple just outside Seattle. The 58-year-old was gunned down at the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle on Friday, reportedly by a man upset with Israel's invasion of Lebanon. Her daughter, Nicole, read a letter she wrote to her mom.
I love you. You may never know how much, but you mean the world to me, and you are my best friend. You have shown unconditional love to me and the world for my entire life.
Five others were injured in the attack. Suspect Naveed Haq is being held on $50 million bail. Patty Lane, Bellevue, Washington.
The Cuban government announced to its citizens late Monday that President Fidel Castro underwent intestinal surgery, that he had temporarily turned over power to his brother Raul. A statement says recuperation will take several weeks and the job of running the island government has been put into the hands of his 75-year-old brother. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. Okay, time for one of my favorite retractions and apologies. Jeff sent this in to me. In fact, Ehud Olmert, who is the acting prime minister of Israel, was in the military. I said earlier this evening he was not. And even if I, as I said it, I thought, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Oh, well. But the source I had, I rather than checking it, I just went with the source. And Jeff sent me the link to Olmert's CV. In November 1963, Olmert began his military service in the 13th Regiment of the Golani Brigade. During his service, he suffered injuries to a leg and an arm, which required prolonged medical treatment. He completed his military service in 1971 at the Hamahane newspaper, whatever that is. I have no idea. Anyway, Jeff, thank you. And I apologize for the error in saying that Olmert never served in the military, when in fact he served 8 years in the military. All right, back to your phone calls. Let's see, who's here? Dick is calling from Dayton, Ohio. Dick, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Dick.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
That's good. Guess what? I was telling your screener.
Yeah?
I got to go to Enid County Fair, and I got to meet some of the politicians here in Ohio, the Democrats, and they told me to write, I think they can straighten this situation up in the Middle East. That's my opinion.
I think the Democrats have a much better chance.
Although, yeah, I do too.
Although it's a very difficult problem, but when you look at what political party has produced leaders who have tried, at least
yeah.
tried, you come up with Carter and Clinton
yeah.
and the Democrats.
Yeah, you have. Hey, Mike, it's always a pleasure.
All right, thanks. Appreciate you checking in, Dick.
Yeah, have a great day.
Okay, you too. Well, okay, gotcha. Janice is calling from Michigan. Hi, Janice.
Hey,
Janice, how you doing?
Good, good, good. Good show tonight.
Well, it's good to hear from you again.
Yeah, I got to tell you, last night's show, I was laughing so hard. I was giggling like an idiot when you were doing the Spanish accent, the phony Spanish accent.
Oh, yeah. He's so irritating. You know that and doing that is just inherently racist. When you toss out your limited vocabulary in a foreign language, and then adopt in your English what is a caricature of someone of that language trying to speak English. It's just disgusting. It's something that you expect the high school sophomores
yeah.
to do.
Well,
when they're junking around with each other, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's a frat boy. You know, what can we say? He's such a punk. But anyway, I want to make sure I have this straight. I'm not sure. Here in Detroit, sometimes Air America gets preempted for women's basketball. Honestly, you know, the Shock, the Detroit Shock.
Not that there's anything wrong with women's basketball.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
They're good. You know, I think they've got a good season. But anyway,
yeah.
I think I missed the beginning of your show, but I'm not sure. I want to make sure that when I tell my neighbor this, because she was telling me that Hezbollah was shooting rockets from next to the building in Kana where everyone was killed. And I said, you know, I'm not sure if that's correct. And then I remember seeing a couple days ago on these cable shows, IDF, the Israel Defense, whatever they are, right,
uh-huh.
whatever, they had released a film showing rockets shooting off next to that building. And then they said, oh, no, that it wasn't that building. It was a building that looked like that building. Is that true? Has it been proven that there were rockets shot off near the building in which all those people were killed?
No. As a matter of fact, the Israeli military is now saying that, oops, they made a mistake, and Haaretz, a leading liberal Jewish newspaper, Israeli newspaper, Jewish, what am I trying to say, Hebrew language, Israeli newspaper is reporting that the Israeli military said no rockets came from Kahana to begin with. So the source that refutes that original story by the Israeli Defense Forces is coming from Israel. It's not coming from anti-Semites.
Correct.
It's not coming from the United States or right. God forbid, France. It's coming from Israel.
That's what I thought. And of course, once it's out there in the cable ether, then they don't tell you, they don't retract it. So that, you know, it's out there and everyone thinks, oh, well, you know, that's the conventional wisdom.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Once the story is put out there, you know, what was it somebody said the other night, quoting Mark Twain, a lie can get around
travels
the world.
Travels around the world before the truth gets
before the truth goes down to breakfast. And a retraction is even slower.
Right.
So anyone who believes that there were rockets being fired from anywhere near that building that was hit and killed all those civilians is either uninformed or a fool or willfully ignorant, like Sean Hannity or some of these right-wing talk show hosts, these neo-Nazis.
Oh, don't talk to me about him. I took your advice because my brain was liquefying.
It'll happen.
The last time I talked to you, you told me not to, you know, listen to them and watch them.
So I've
cut back at least 80%, and I feel much better for
it.
But
you will.
More thing.
Yeah, Janice, I've got to move on. Say it very quickly, very quickly.
Okay, Bush is sneaking into Ohio tomorrow to raise money for Ken Blackwell.
Oh, my God. We'll catch him. We'll catch him. We'll have some quotes tomorrow night. Thanks, Janice. Take care. Now, don't everybody get pissed off. I'm trying to cut back on the length of the phone calls, and that's just what you do in talk radio, and that's what I'm going to do. At least on this program. Karen is calling from Kansas. Karen, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello, Michael.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, I guess I'm doing okay. I was just wondering if it makes sense to you that all of the chaos that is being stuffed down our throats, and you went through a little list of it, a couple of breaks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking that if I look beyond what is truly happening to us, I can see the real reason behind why it is. I don't think there's a war or any of this chaos at all that isn't orchestrated to make us behave in a certain way or make us believe. I think we're all being led, driven, and ridden down the yellow brick road.
I agree. This is a page that was taken right out of the playbook of the Nazis when they came to power. And I think it was either Goering or Goebbels who laid out the plan. What, in order to control your population, you just keep them constantly in a state of fear that they're going to be attacked, either externally or internally. The Nazis used the internal threat of they constructed that the Jews were a threat to them, and we know what happened with that. The external threat was Russia, or at the time the Soviet Union. And the communists, and this is exactly, I mean, you are so right. This is exactly what is being done to us Americans. And because we're not paying attention, because we're not politically bright as a people, and because we have the horror of commercial television that most of us use as our main point of information, we're falling for it. We're going right for it. And so you're absolutely right.
Well, then, I wish people would stop and look and see what is happening behind our backs right here in our own country.
I wish too.
Frightens me to death, and I wish that you would touch upon this a little bit more on your show.
Okay.
The North American Union, the One World Government. You know, Bush has been signing treaties and agreements for years now.
Yeah.
With old Mexico and with Canada now.
Well, I haven't taken a look at that yet, Karen, but I will. A couple of people have emailed me on that. Karen, I got to leave it there. Thanks. I appreciate you checking in. You take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
What's that on the floor? Waste of fear.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for The Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
Flying Monkey Right Blues, here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
It's bad, you know. 21 past the hour. Rocky is calling from Sacramento, California, otherwise known as Northern California hell. How's the weather out there?
You know, it's not as hot as it was a couple of weeks ago, about a week ago. It's cooling down a little bit, but I was born and raised in the valley, so...
You're used to it.
We're kind of used to it out here.
I couldn't believe when I was in Sacramento earlier this year, and I was told that the temperature gets very, very hot and the pollution is very hot because you're at the northern end of the Central Valley. I couldn't believe it because when I was there, it was beautiful in Sacramento, but you guys have really taken a pounding.
Yeah.
But that's not why you didn't call about weather reports. I'm sorry, Rocky. Go ahead.
No, but there is poor people in Sacramento dying because they can't afford air conditioning.
I know.
think about that while we're on the subject of weather. You know, the reason I called, Mike, and I'm actually kind of nervous. This is funny. I listen to you absolutely when I can. I discovered you by chance when Air America came to Sacramento. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Some time ago, and you know I find that you tell the truth about everything, and I really respect that. And it's just a great show. And I'm a 46 year old man who the only political involvement I've really had throughout my life is a lot of talk, and then you know I vote. You know, when I cast my vote, but I've not gotten involved as far as volunteering or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And listening to you and listening to all the people that called, it's kind of inspired me. I went to a MoveOn.org party last night, celebrating the last 100 days before the election, and I've started volunteering and making phone calls. I made about 100 phone calls tonight for Charlie Brown, who's running against John Doolittle.
Mm-hmm.
And District 4 of California. And I know it's local and you're national, but what a lot of people nationally might want to know is District 4 is the second strongest Republican district in California.
Now, this is for the California General Assembly or for...
This is for Congress.
Oh, this is for the U.S. Congress.
Yeah, this is for U.S. Congress. And he's running against John Doolittle, who's mixed up in Abramoff, whose wife gets 15% of everything that you donate to Doolittle's campaign, she automatically siphons 15% off.
Oh, my God.
By the way. And, you know, a lot of people say there's not a chance that Charlie Brown can get elected in this district. I don't even live in the district, but it was this easy to get involved.
What's his position on the occupation of Iraq?
He's for a one-year timetable for withdrawal. No permanent basis, and he was against the invasion from day one.
Well, what you ought to do, do this, Rocky, send to my producer a way to get in touch with him. And
really?
We've had congressional candidates on.
I know you have.
From all over the country, and since we have a program in Sacramento, is Sacramento in the district?
Yes, yeah. Well, he's not... Sacramento's not in the district. It's Roseville, Placerville. It's north of Sacramento to the Nevada border and about 100 miles beyond that. Heavy Republican district. I mean,
I'm wondering if this program gets picked up there. Even if it doesn't, it might generate some buzz for him and maybe some donations.
Yeah,
so,
it absolutely does. I drive. I'm not in the district, but I drive 2 miles to the district. So I can make phone calls for him. I called 100 people tonight in a heavy Republican district. I got 5 people for Doolittle, 5 people for Charlie Brown, and 8 people that were undecided.
Huh.
And it took an hour of my time to sit down and make these phone calls. And I admire the people that call your show, but how many of them are volunteering right now?
That's right. That's right.
You know?
Absolutely true.
And I don't want to take a bunch of your time. I admire you so much, and I love your show, and the production is great. The guys that do the music lead-ins... and the bumpers, whoever's doing that, props to them.
Well, the guys, that's Kathy Bay.
Oh, that would be Kathy.
That would be Kathy, my producer. She selects the music. She handles all of that. You know, we're a staff of 2 when we're concerned getting the program on the air. She's very, very good at what she does. So
all props to her. And well, 2 really fast questions, if I may.
I'd say again?
2 really fast questions,
sure, go
if
ahead.
I may. I read 1984 again because of you guys.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I gave it to my 16-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote inside, you know, make sure this doesn't happen.
Right.
And she loved the book. My question is this. What book do I read right now, Mike?
Animal Farm or Hostile Takeover.
I've read them both. Yeah, I've read both.
Okay, and the other one I would recommend is... What's the one about the... Kathy, help me out here. The plane load of British schoolboys that crashes on the island. Lord of the Flies.
Lord of the Flies, yeah.
All I could think of is Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Flies.
I haven't read that since college.
Rocky, I got to go. Send the information to MalloyProducer@AOL.com.
AOL.com. You got it.
Thanks for checking in, pal.
Keep up the good work. What could I do?
Democracy dead, only time's gonna tell. Get your feet in the street and start raising some hell.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The walls close in, the air grows thin. An unspeakable crime unfolds as a new victim learns that it is possible to be scared to death. Faithless, the chilling new novel by Karen Slaughter. When Grant County Coroner Sarah Linton discovers a young woman's body, she vows to unmask a killer who preys on both body and soul. Read Faithless by best-selling author Karen Slaughter, now a yellow paperback.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
We'll be right back.
your host for a Priens future. It's Mike Malloy.
26 before the hour. One more book to add to the reading list. And Greg just reminded me. This may be too intense for a 16-year-old, though. And that would be Neville Shute's book. He's an Australian. Neville Shute's book, On the Beach, which was turned into a movie, oh, my God, 40 years ago. Or rent the DVD, On the Beach. Neville Shute, S-H-U-T-E. And also, It Can't Happen Here by Sinclair Lewis. Liz sent that in. Is that short for Liz Estrada? The only problem I had with it, with the book, It Can't Happen Here, is the style in which it's written. It's a bit difficult to read. It was written in a style that was popular when was that written? In the 30s? And it's difficult to read. That's all I'm saying. All right, back to your phone calls. Let me see, where are we? Ulysses is calling from Miami, Florida. Ulysses, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm over here at work.
Oh, okay. Do they know you're making a personal...
Oh, no, I do security. so I'm to myself.
I'm kidding. Relax, Ulysses. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
I'm trying to make sure I don't get in trouble, man.
I know. I hear you.
But, I was talking to you before. You had asked me what it was I wanted to bring up. And right. I've been listening to Air America for, maybe about 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I've noticed, since the whole Bush administration has come into power, has come into play, I've been in awe. And the reason that I've been in awe, and I want to make sure maybe people who hear this right now realize this, they need to understand that the evil that they're dealing with now, it's not the traditional evil that, like compared to like those of Hitler, those of Napoleon, those of Alexander the Great. Mm-hmm. These were people that did some really messed up things, but they did it out of passion. They felt what they were doing was the right thing. The evil that we have now is the sort of evil that you see in corporations, which is why I think it's the purest evil, because it's the evil of indifference.
Well, that's a good point.
To them, good and evil is really nothing more now than business decisions. Whatever costs less for the bottom line, they go with it, whether that is to break the law or to be in compliance with the law. Whatever costs less, they go with it. And that sort of thinking, that sort of criminal thinking has now gotten into the White House, has gotten into the administration, and that's what I think people need to realize. The notion of good or evil, left or right, all of that stuff is irrelevant now. These are people that if you are not in with them, you're expendable. You are simply a number. You are a pawn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people need to start looking at this from that perspective. Maybe if people start, wisening up, they'll realize that the people that are in power, they do not care, even if you voted for them, really. They don't, because for them, it's not a matter of who you are or what you are. It's what you can provide to them at that moment. And if you are expendable at that moment, you're expendable, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think you're probably hitting on a real kind of elemental truth of these bastards. And you're right. This is bottom line evil. It is. And I understand what you're saying. The thing that always just really freaks me out is when Bush is someplace giving one of his pro-war, pro-death speeches, like he was in Miami the other day,
and then he
talks about some damn clam sandwich he had to eat, or some quesadilla or something, or he was hanging out with Andy Garcia or somebody.
Exactly.
And in the same breath, he's talking about war in the Middle East. This sucker is crazy. I'm telling you, Lewis, Ulysses, the man is really insane.
You are so right, Mr. Malloy. But what's funny about it is that is what I'm talking about, the evil of indifference. You see, I've seen footage of Bush talking before when he was a governor, I believe, of Texas, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, right.
I've seen footage of him talking. This is, and remember something, didn't he go to Ivy League schools? I mean,
well, sure.
Yeah, he got, you know, he dropped out, but didn't he go to Ivy League schools?
No, he graduated from both Yale and Harvard, got his advanced degree from Harvard, I guess, Harvard Business.
There you go. So there you go. Now put that into perspective. This man, a Yale Ivy League educated man, is on these press conferences and on these, you know, these debates or whatever, and he's talking like an utter idiot. He stutters, he murmurs, he says stupid lines that you're just like, you know, he makes so many quotables that you, of course, use and many other people. But that's the beauty of it. He keeps your attention on how idiotic he is, and people actually think this is what's running the White House now. This is what's in power, but they need to realize this is not an idiot. This man is a very cold, calculated businessman. Whatever he can do to keep you from focusing on the failures and the things that are going wrong in Iraq and the things that are going wrong in Lebanon now, whatever he can do, even at the expense of himself, even at the expense of his own personality, he will do it. Why? Because to him, that is nothing, that is of no relevance. Only thing that is relevant is what will make sure the bottom line, what will make sure he gets the most money and what benefits those within him who are playing ball.
I hear you.
If he makes you think that he's an idiot, fine. Just so long as you don't think that he's an evil person that you can't trust.
I got you. Ulysses, I got to leave it there. Thank you. You made some good points, and I think essentially you're absolutely right. Thanks for checking in, pal. I hope you do again. Take care. When Ulysses is talking about that, again and again and again and again, over and over, I keep coming back to what Hannah Arendt wrote during the trial of Eichmann, Adolf Eichmann, back in the 60s, where she, I guess it's her phrase, the banality of evil, how Eichmann was, what was he? He was a bookkeeper. He was a businessman. He was so when Ulysses is talking about that, I've thought that so many times, haven't you, about the Bush crime family? These people who are involved in destroying America as efficiently and as effectively as they have over the past 5 years, any one of them dropped somewhere other, you know, where they had no connections, government or business, and given a truck or a small business, a garage or a gas station or a grocery store to run, just drop them in that environment. These sons of bitches wouldn't last 2 weeks. You know it as well as I do. They wouldn't last 2 weeks. The only thing that keeps these people going is their connections, this web that has been woven for them, and it is a web. I don't know. Oh, never mind. Mary is calling from Memphis. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hey, Mary.
Hey, it's Michigan.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm in Canton, Michigan. I'm near Dearborn.
Oh, okay.
You know, we've got the largest Arabic community in the country over here, and I have many close Lebanese friends in Dearborn, and I am, you know, following this Israeli-Lebanese disaster quite closely, keeping in touch with one of my real close friends in Dearborn. But anyway, the reason I called is because I happened to turn on O'Reilly last night, and shouldn't have done it because I've been mad all day.
Yeah.
But he had that delusional nutcase Michelle Malkin on there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that woman just... She's like fingernails on a chalkboard.
I know. And like I said, I've been furious all day, and I wanted to email them, but something's wrong with my computer system. I changed the internet access, which I shouldn't have. I left AOL. I think that was a mistake, even though they're more expensive. But anyway, what really burned me up is those two idiots were trying to justify that massacre in Ghana. And, you know, she was coming off with her ridiculous conspiracy theories that Hezbollah kept those people in the apartment building and refused to let them go because they used them as human shields.
Well, do you suppose these evil people, O'Reilly and this thuggish,
that Michelle Bitt,
Michelle Malkin, do you suppose they'll come on the air and say, oops, we just got a report that the Israeli Defense Forces are admitting that there was no Hezbollah in that area, and they had made a mistake. Do you suppose they're going to come on and say...
Yeah, that's... Well, I wanted to email him today, but I knew he wouldn't have read it anyway. But, I mean, trying to say
that... You don't
that,
even have to tell him. All you have to do is email him the link from the Israeli newspaper, Haaretz, that has this, that has the story. But regardless of that, I just wonder how people like Malkin or O'Reilly can sleep at night. How do they do it?
But, I mean, they were justifying this massacre. Well, Hezbollah kept them as human shields, wouldn't let the people go, and, you know, they were targeted. But what really gets to me is, weren't these people in an underground bunker in the basement of this apartment building?
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of bombs were the Israelis using? One of those bunker busting things?
Well, they use the weaponry that we provide them for the most part. So that blood is on us. Mary, I have to leave it there.
Yeah,
thanks.
Well, you know, some of this stuff is made in Sterling Heights, Michigan here. And you know what? Some of these people are happy because they figure they got jobs now.
Oh,
you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All
right, they're
Mary,
happy then.
Mary, thanks. Thanks for checking in. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, Bob Granis, Rob Granis. That's a new guy, right? And Stan Stolpiak, all three engineered the program tonight. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. David Weissman, handle your phone calls tonight. Thank you, David. And our remote crew, Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, webmaster Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org, Jim in Arkansas, our music bureau chief. And once again, because I got some more emails, MikeMalloy.com, go to the gallery, and there's some new Littlest Liberal pictures in there. Don't forget to SceneForNewYork.org. Catherine Bay is our executive producer. Do we have any guests tomorrow night? Nobody? What's tomorrow, Wednesday? Okay. Mary is calling from Memphis, Tennessee. Hey, Mary.
Hi, from Memphis.
Yeah, we got the right Mary this time. Well, we got the right Mary last time. I just said the wrong city. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you. You had just mentioned that Israel is using the weapons that the U.S. gave them.
Yes.
And that Lebanese blood is on our hands. Not only their blood, but the blood of the world, in that whenever we have, for example, a nuclear blast above ground, the radioactivity from that is worldwide within 2 weeks. And every time there has been such an above-ground blast, cancers and problems resulting from radiation sickness and so forth have increased worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the pictures of the Iraqi babies and the Chernobyl babies and what has happened to them because of the radioactivity and the toxicity of depleted uranium and just the dangers of that.
Oh, it's horrifying. If Americans had to confront some of the incalculable, mind-boggling destruction of human life and deforming of human life that we have caused, I don't know how many of us could handle it.
I couldn't look at very much of it at all.
No.
At all, because I like babies.
Yeah, but we do not. You know, most people don't know that, and most people therefore don't demand moral leadership. They demand this Christian fundamentalist nonsense, which is not moral. It is the most immoral, unethical form of governance or religion I have ever stumbled across in my life. But we don't ask or demand moral or ethical leadership in this country. It is an expedient sort of leadership. It is horribly damaging, not just to ourselves, but to everybody else. And I don't quite get that. You know, we have the mythology, Mary, of the framers of our Constitution, our documents, being idealists of the highest order. You know, it was the grand experiment to see if we could govern ourselves in a way unlike any other society, any other group of people in the history of the human race. And the documents are wonderful. They read wonderfully.
They're very good for their times.
Absolutely.
And they might be very good for our times, too, but we kind of took an Orwellian right turn there someplace.
That's right, and we certainly do not follow the documents at all. I don't know that we ever have in the history of our country. The documents are there. I think the framers knew this is something to aspire to, but when they counted black people as three-fifths of a human being, surely something must have gone off in their heads that had to do with we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Surely something must have gone off in their heads that said, oops, wait a second. But, you know, it's when you put your head in the sand or you involve yourself in willful ignorance, which is what most of us do in this country, that's one way of surviving, right?
Yeah. Could I make one more remark here, Mike?
Sure. We have a minute left. Go ahead.
Okay. People are talking about being led or driven to believe in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's an excellent book regarding that. It's called The Nazi Conscience by Claudia Kunz. And to read that, it's like you're reading Karl Rove. Exactly.
Really? The Nazi Conscience? Is this a relatively new book?
I'm not sure how new it is, but it's by Claudia Kunz, K-O-O-N-Z, who is a history professor, The Nazi Conscience.
The Nazi Conscience. I'll have to
it's
see if...
It's exactly like reading Karl Rove.
Okay.
And another way in which people are being led and driven to believe things is by the use of technology.
Mm-hmm.
Certain frequencies of, for example, sound systems,
mm-hmm.
Rhythms such as alpha rhythms and theta rhythms, which are hypnotic. I had some friends who used these as an experiment in a church, in a play they produced once, and
uh-huh.
they were using alpha rhythms in the background.
Uh-huh.
And it was One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, and when they came out for bows at the end of the play, the audience rose up and wanted to commit violence on the nurse. And it took a little while for people to simmer down and realize that must have been very, very good acting.
Yeah.
But what it was the use of these alpha and theta rhythms in the background to the play itself. Mega churches use those rhythms. And you can note that when you see people's eyelids flickering at a certain speed or the swaying back and forth.
Well, I'll be darned, I've not heard of this. Listen,
oh,
Mary,
man, you ought to look that up.
Send me something. We're almost out of time, and this is a very interesting topic, but we just don't have the time right now. But I'd love to find out more about this. If you can send me a link just send it to mike@mikemalloy.com. If you have a link or anything about the use of these alpha emissions or whatever the heck they are, I'd love to hear about it, okay?
All right. Well, good. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mary. I appreciate it. Oops. I think she was still talking there, but we have to go. It's time to go home. Time to wake up the kid, change your pamper, do the promo for tomorrow, get in the car and head for home once again. Thanks for participating tonight in the program. I appreciate it, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Watch your back. Take care. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
America Radio.
Don't let a stiff neck or an aching back or even arthritis keep you from being active. Go out and get the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause medicated patches provide fast and sustained relief to aching muscles and joints. Simply apply the Salon Pause Patch where it hurts and enjoy hours of soothing relief. No fuss, no mess, just lasting relief. So don't let muscle pain slow you down. Be more active with the Salon Pause Patch. Salon Pause is available at major chain drugstores and pharmacies.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.